Hello, my name is Mike Lockaby. I'm speaking to you from Wrangell. I'm speaking to you with an opinion on the sea otter problem in Southeast Alaska. I do speak, I am a spokesman and do speak for a fisherman coalition and have at the Board of Fish and the Senate Resources Committee. However, you should know that this is my opinion. Many in our coalition will support it, but this is my opinion and I'm responsible for the facts, the thoughts in it. All the positions and facts that I bring up are verifiable by at least two biological sources and or two points of law and language in the Marine Mammal Protection Act. The title of an article in the Anchorage Daily News on March 17th read, "Alaskans make new push to kill more sea otters." They didn't get the whole picture. Many Alaskans are pushing to save our resources for all of us. While speaking to our coalition members and others, one question keeps coming to the forefront over and over. Why doesn't anyone get it? Why does no one see the urgency of this situation? How acute this biological emergency is now. We have this problem. It's threatening our core resources, and no one is digging for a solution. No one is acting. Are we this burdened by the muck in the swamp that we have to argue and consider 1 + 1 = 2 over and over till we no longer have the one and the one to work with? I can see our politicians then trying to figure out how 0 + 0 can equal something, as they always do, and then spend valuable time on who they can blame for the net result of zero. The Anchorage Daily was provided with current data on sea otters, and they chose to use data that was 2 to 4 years out of date. They included none of the historical information that was provided to them that would help all involved entities understand how acute this emergency is, the emergencies that all users and the otters themselves are faced with. The one thing they did get right is that Alaska's congressional delegation is apparently unaware of tools they can use now, and they could have been using since 2007 to avoid this emergency. Everybody said they saw it coming, but here we are at a point that might not be solvable. Great work. No Woodward and Bernstein in that outfit, just a chance to put the word kill in a headline. The current sea otter population in Southeast Alaska is between 30,000 and 40,000 animals, with the U.S. Park Service estimate being at the top of that range. Higher estimates are out there, but for the sake of argument, let's call it 32,000 animals as of January 1, 2018. According to pre-exploitation population estimates from noted scientific works and mathematical comparisons with 1880 and 1930 populations, Southeast Alaska's carrying capacity in 2018 would be about 15,000 animals, 20,000 tops. One needs to consider that managing at an optimum sustainable population would possibly allow for the otters to coexist with humans and their habitat and prey species. Our marine ecosystem could balance at a level that would allow all of us users to continue to have the resources we have now. That managing at a carrying capacity or optimum sustained population levels is sought in the Marine Mammal Protection Act itself. Important to keep in mind is that the current population of otters is almost twice the carrying capacity of Southeast. Further, the otters occupy only about 60% of the historical and currently available habitat at this time. That the current population in the occupied area could be up to 4 times the carrying capacity of that area. Anyone who bothers to review this would immediately see that we do have a biological emergency. The growth rate of the otter population is accepted at 13% annually. In Glacier Bay, it has been as high as 42% due to breeding and in-migration. But that's going down now as the groups of otters have decimated their habitat and prey in parts of the bay and are beginning to move on to new areas. Are you starting to get an idea of what the problem is? This problem is all of ours, and it is affecting all of us now. I have been working on, researching, and presenting this problem to many agencies for the last 6 years. I and others presented this issue to the Alaska Board of Fisheries starting 6 years ago. Public comment is on record. This year, under the very capable leadership of Board of Fish Chairman John Jensen, the Board of Fish took action and drafted a well-written letter to go up the line. Finally, somebody got it. The next paragraph contains verbatim the mission statement of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commercial Fisheries Division. You can find the mission statement on the back of an Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist business card. I quote, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Division of Commercial Fisheries, to manage subsistence, commercial, and personal use fisheries in the interest of the economy and general well-being of the citizens of the state, consistent with the sustained yield principle and subject to allocations through the regulatory processes. Unquote. We have an apex predator that is beyond its pairing capacity. The predator has been having a tremendous adverse impact on the species that all user groups of our state rely on for multiple uses. So I asked them, where are you? Where have you been? The reply, always, until the board's letter, has been, we don't manage otters, the federal government does. Alaska Department of Fish and Game manages all our resources affected. Does that not include predators? They have said that the Marine Mammal Protection Act is very restrictive. Well, yes, it is. However, I asked many of them if they had ever read the Marine Mammal Protection Act, and to a man, to a person, everyone in the department replied no. What a colossal failure to do their job, as their mission statement describes. If the department had read the MMA, studied it just as much as I have, they would have found that there are many options to allow management of this predator within the Act. In fact, there's an entire section that concerns the transfer of management to the state. That section allows for the transfer to the state clearly. By word and definition, it also states the users to be Alaskan rural residents, same as stated in our state subsistence regulations. They would have found that elsewhere in the Marine Mammal Protection Act, under permit, a take could occur if it is found that the mammal is having an adverse effect on its habitat and prey species. Clearly, that last quote is the very definition of our problem. If they had done the simple math that the Board of Fish has done for their letter, they would have discovered that the otters are now consuming over 90 million pounds per year of fisheries resource in southeast Alaska. Undoubtedly, that should have set off some alarm bells long before now. Be assured that that figure, 240,000 pounds per day, or 90 million pounds per year, was arrived at using the lowest real population estimates and the lowest consumption of resource by an otter, average-sized otter, daily. Most likely that 90 million pounds per year number is 20% higher. When wolf population gets too high and threaten moose, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game lessens regulation, even at times allowing for some methods and means not normally allowed to be used until the ecosystem balances out. That is being a good steward of the resource. They should have read the Marine Mammal Protection Act and discovered they could have been much better stewards of our inshore marine resources also. The Anchorage Daily News quoted Senator Murkowski as supporting flexibility in the Marine Mammal Protection Act. If she or her office reads it, they will find ample flexibility in the Act now that allows the Secretary of the Interior to help us with this critical issue without the long process of amending the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Again, this situation is acute. The Secretary of Interior has authority with otters to make changes allowed within the Marine Mammal Protection Act without congressional amendment. Senator Murkowski is quoted in the Anchorage Daily, quote, I do not support the stripping protections of marine animals under the Act. I, too, do not support stripping protections of the mammals, but if left unchecked, the otters will destroy our resources and will also destroy its own environment. They will suffer a much worse fate at the hand of overpopulation than they will at a harvest. It had become very apparent that a harvest is necessary to balance the otter population with the ecosystem for their own protection, too. Otter populations in California reached a high point and were decimated by a number of diseases and maladies. There's some discussion over how that came about, but the population did crash and has yet to recover. I've spoken with Senator Sullivan's office in Washington, D.C., and as quoted in the Anchorage Daily News, he intends to review the act in the future. Holy crap! Does no one realize that there's a critical problem now? Not next year, now. There is very, very little future left to work with. This decimation of resources is not coming. It is here, and it has been here. As everyone hides from the Marine Mammal Protection Act, cowers from it actually, like the act is the 11th commandment, when in fact the Marine Mammal Protection Act has a fair amount of flexibility in it. The Southeast crab fleet is being compressed into smaller and smaller area as otters have depleted the resource and destroyed area by consuming 100% of the crab, not just the mature males as the commercial fleet does. By their nature, the otters simply consume everything, adult, subadult, male, and females of every species until the supply runs out, and then they move on. At the 2018 Board of Fish Shellfish meeting, Alaska Department of Fish and Game has recognized areas lost to the dive fisheries from otter predation. Villages have lost and are losing subsistence resources at alarming rates, and that is hand in hand with the personal use areas that have been lost. Again, I ask members of the Board of Fish, their legal advisor, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, representatives and senators at both the state and federal level, and not one has admitted to reading the Marine Mammal Protection Act. One did say yes, and I asked if he'd read it all thoroughly, and he changed his answer to no. How can they propose to amend a 45-year standing federal act without having read it? I don't get it. House and Senate resolutions are in process now that include the first step necessary for the state to gain management of the otters. Please call Representative Dan Ortiz and Senator Stedman's offices and press your point if you are a concerned user. Senator Stedman's joint Senate resolution, SJR 13, was in front of the Senate Resources Committee on March 11th, and it has been tabled awaiting revision. Public comment was limited to 2 minutes per person. 2 minutes to comment on my family's livelihood and lifestyle for the last 45 years. I was speaking for a coalition of over 40 stakeholders, their families and crews, and for the dock workers that work our resources to market. 2 minutes to comment on $16 to $20 million of prime income in Southeast Alaska. 2 minutes. I felt they couldn't get rid of us fast enough. They did not hear us because they did not allow us enough time to tell them how this would affect us. $16 to $20 million is not much to a politician, but it means a lot to us here in Southeast when we make our living with it, as well as the dock crews, transport businesses, grocery stores, restaurants, bars, hardware stores, boat shops, and all the other folks who benefit from those millions of prime income dollars. The dollars brought from outside are referred to as prime income dollars because they are new dollars entering our communities. Prime income dollars roll over many times within communities. The prime dollars multiply themselves to create a part of our economy. A prime income multiplication factor of 3 to 4 is not unusual for a small town. Prime income from only Dungeness crab and wrangle. Prime income from Dungeness crab and wrangle is 2.5 to 3.5 million dollars annually. During public testimony on Senate Joint Resolution 13, users commented supporting and opposing the resolution. Some of these comments on records contained divisive language that included, quote, "I want to see the otters left for only me and my brothers," unquote, and, quote, "I see a bunch of people who have a lot of money and want more," unquote. I find it hard to believe that they would be willing to sacrifice our Southeast commercial fisheries. that they would accept the loss of commercial fisheries is so out of touch with the biological emergency we all face, it is discouraging. If they were to prevail and win an allocation battle, I would urge them to see that they would win the battle, but most assuredly, we would all lose this war. We must act together to have an authority to manage the otters. Not one person in the coalition has denied or will deny any other group their due rights or their priority position. It's simple math. At current harvest levels, we all have to participate to bring the population into balance with the ecosystem it lives in. Then and only then can we discuss priority use of otters. I, for one, will gladly allow the priority users to be the sole harvesters after we balance at an optimum sustained population. The goal in the Marine Mammal Protection Act is to achieve an optimum sustained population. I have no desire to impugn or any specific person for not acting. This is a failure to manage our resources and represent us and has been inclusive and goes all the way to the top of our managing bodies, our local and federal representation and management. Let's get busy and pass state statute and regulatory language required by the Marine Mammal Protection Act as a first step in negotiating for management. That is stated in the Marine Mammal Protection Act now, part of the flexibility I spoke of. Then we can approach the Secretary of the Interior. It has been very frustrating to hear a total lack of urgencies as our fisheries begin to collapse and subsistence and personal use resources are being consumed at a rate and in volumes the resource cannot possibly support. I have written to the Secretary of the Interior and the President last year asking for their help to avoid these coming collapses. There has never been people at the top that are more pro-deregulation than our current leadership. Let's all take advantage of it and work together for the good of ourselves and our resources. In closing, a few points to ponder. Thinking of Southeast Alaska economy, subsistence, and personal use, please consider these points. View the problem from its history through its solution. People don't seem to see a whole picture of how to get from where we are to where we need to be. We need to look at it in one picture. Do realize what the loss of 600 primary stakeholder jobs would mean to all of us. Do understand that each stakeholder has hundreds of thousands of dollars in equipment, permits, and capital that will be idle and worthless if we do not find a solution and find that solution fairly quickly. Do understand what the loss of up to 1,000 additional secondary jobs would mean. Understand at this critical point, the losses are not going to happen, they are happening. They've already started, and they will complete themselves within 1 to 3 years. Consider, please, what prime income is and how it affects all of us. Consider subsistence and personal use is not only our lifestyle, it's how almost all of us offset the cost of living. Most of us love our lives here, generations and generations of it, three in my family alone. Have respect for all of us. To the folks who share this, thanks for listening. As always, I look forward to working with anybody. To our managers and leadership, please read this twice. Thank you very much. My name is Mike Lockerbie, speaking with my opinion. Welcome comments from anybody.